Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, it is a great day, and I want to welcome you to our This Fall Into Faith. That's what we're doing. We are getting our head, mind, our life into a life of faith. And we all, I mean, everybody has needs in their life. We all do. I said, well, I don't have any. Well, all of us have needs of some sort, healing, financial, relationship, situations at work. We have needs for those, and we want to see the manifestation of the answer of that, not just in theory. We want to see this resolved. We want to see the manifestation. Yes, I know I have been healed, but I sure do feel bad right now. I want to feel better. I want to walk in these promises. And boy, that was great last night, Ashley. Just a super encouragement. And you always remember when you're hearing a testimony. You never think, well, wasn't that great? Ashley's house burnt down and now they got a new one. Well, that was a neat story he told last night. You missed the whole point. The point is, always remember, God is no respecter of persons. If he did a miracle for the Ellison family, he will do a miracle in my family. Right. And if you just sat there amused by the story or the testimony of it, well, wasn't that something? Well, I'm happy for him. Nothing like that ever happens for us. I tell you, we don't ever have. You missed the whole story. You missed the whole point. So the point is, that built faith in my heart for the situations that Terry and I personally are dealing with. Because I read in the Word, God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't favor the Ellisons more than he favors the Brooks. So since he did it for them, then now I left encouraged last night after hearing the testimony of dramatic miracles that just took place. Okay, then I left encouraged for the things that I'm needing in my life. So make sure you get the point of what we're talking about. You've got to do when in any speaker, a speaker will speak from their experiences, their point of view, but you've got to translate that and make it apply for you. You don't go, well, that's good for Tim. Well, then you missed the whole reason for being here. This isn't good for me. I'm telling you what God's done for me so you will be convinced that God will do the same thing for you. We want to see these things happen in our life. Well, how does that happen? Well, it happens through faith. Over and over and over, Jesus said to his disciples, why couldn't we do this? Why didn't this happen for us? Why? What? Well, it's because of your lack of faith, your little faith. And so we see things are manifest in our life through faith. Okay, I clearly need faith. How do I get faith? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, not having heard. So that's why we are here hearing things that you have already heard, but heard doesn't produce faith. Hearing produces faith. So you hadn't come here because you haven't heard. You came here to hear. So that's what we're doing. Well, did you get anything out of this morning? Oh, not much. I heard all that before. Well, then you missed what was supposed to happen. I got a lot. I have lived through the Ellison's testimony. I have been involved in their life through every step of the way of that testimony. I didn't hear anything new that I hadn't already heard, but as I was hearing it, it excited me in my heart for what God's going to do in my business, in my finances, and in my situation. So make sure you are allowing this faith week to produce faith. Don't miss the production of faith. We've set aside these few days for this to happen. I want this to happen for you. I want to talk. When we got two sessions, I want to talk a little bit first here this morning in this first session about the creative power. Faith has power to create. The creative power of faith in your life. Christianity, our life with God, is not a dead, lifeless ideology. It's not a dead, lifeless philosophy established by a religious leader in the 1500s or the 1300s, and now we have formed a group and are joining this religious leader's ideology with rules to follow in our life. You can't put Christianity over in the arena of all these other religions. God's word is alive and it's active. And you know that. You'll hear a scripture that you've heard 9 jillion times, and it just like you've never heard it before. The aliveness of the word is overwhelming as we read the word. Hebrews 11:3 is the scripture that I want to talk about today. By faith, we understand. Now, this is what we understand. We understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. We understand that. We understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. We do not believe in random selection. We don't believe in time plus chance. Because we have not checked our minds at the door, we believe in scientific laws. And the scientific law of entropy says everything is on a downward spiral. There is nothing that spirals upward. There's always, if you put in the analogy we always use, if you put a brand new 2019 GMC pickup out in the field and you come back 500 years later, it will be a pile of glass and rubber and metal. If you put a pile of glass and rubber and metal out in the field and you come back 500 years later or 2 billion years later, it won't have assimilated into a brand spanking new GMC pickup. Nothing like that ever happens. We understand the law of entropy. What's mind-boggling is the scientists who understand the law of entropy say, except for... And you look at the intricate design of the human body, you look at the design of the rotation of the planets, and all that just happened out of some atoms banging together. That does not follow the scientific law of entropy. So we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. We understand that. We fully understand that. That what we, verse 3, what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Now, I want to talk about that. I want you to hear this. We understand this. What we see has come from things that we cannot see. Now, what is it that you're praying for? What is it that you're in need of at work, in your family, at home, in a relationship, in your finances, in your health, whatever? What is it that you are in need of? It may very well come through what's seen, but what I want you to know is it's not limited to only come through what's seen, because it may very well come to you by what is not seen. The answer may come to you through nothing that you can see or fathom right now. So when you look at your marriage, well, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. When you look at your finances, it's hopeless. When you look at your situation at work, it's hopeless. There's nothing. Well, Tim, I don't see it happening. I don't doubt that you don't see it happening, but don't close the door on that, because we are people who live by faith and we understand that all the things that we see came from things that we don't see. So you can't close the door on that never happening for me. Through history, we see things happening that no one thought was possible. We heard a testimony last night, standing here in a bunch of ashes. You don't see what has happened as possible at that moment. You cannot see that. Whenever Moses and all of these people were right here on the edge of the Red, and the Pharaoh is coming down the mountain at a full gallop, you don't see. I never thought about the sea parting. Oh, we're going to run. Can't run this way. Can't run that way. Where we're going to go? some gun. Now, that's an option I didn't think about. Well, I didn't. Well, how are we going to feed all these people? Well, I never just thought about manna just falling out of heaven. I'm going to have to tell you, I never thought about that one. Here's what you got to always remember. We serve a God who creates out of things that are not seen. So as you are here in your finite mind evaluating your situation, you're in big trouble. I get that. Except for we serve a God who is not limited in his creative power by what you can see at the moment. Here's the problem. We love God. We're in church. We're in church all the time. We pray. But the problem is, too often, we are still at the center of our life, and God is one of many spokes in our wheel. And we call on God, or we use God, and we know God, but he's not in the center. He is just a spare tire that we use when our one tire goes flat. When let me go on with this because you got to get this. When we become the center and just use God, then we have limited our answer to what we can produce. Did you follow that? Now, when you're at the center, I don't see anything happening. You're in trouble because you have relegated. You've limited. You have resigned your life to be only what you can make happen in your natural strength. And when your natural strength comes short of producing a desired answer, then woe is me, I'm in trouble here because I'm limited by my natural strength. When you are a spoke in God's wheel, then there is no limit to what might take place or how it might take place in your life. We shift, and that's what this week is all about, is shifting our faith to and in God and away from my faith being in me. I still go to the doctor. Go to the doctor all the time. I use the doctor. My faith is not in the doctor. He is a spoke in the wheel that God is using. I don't pray for this building. I do a little construction, and I don't pray that God build this building. I'm using plumbers and electricians and carpenters, but my faith is in God to make me money. My faith is not in carpenters and electricians and roofers to make me money. They are spokes in God's. See, it's a different paradigm that you live from. Is this making sense to you? Are you getting this? Faith has got to be the center of your life, and when it is the center of your life, then the creative power of God to accomplish exceedingly, abundantly, more and above and beyond what you could ever even think of or dream of is what the scripture says. See, you've pulled the limits off because now I am not the center, God is the center. Verse 3. The entire universe was formed at God's command. What we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. And God said, let there be light. Where did light come from? It didn't come from anything that was seen. What was seen was empty, formless, and void. Where did light come from? It came from what you and I can't see. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. But soon, a fierce, I'm not talking about just a little storm, I'm talking about a fierce storm, because everybody else is a bad dude, comes up. High waves are breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus sleeping on the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. It's a little weird. Now, I'm a sound sleeper, but my goodness. The disciples wake him shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that, look at it, we are going, you can kiss us by. We're gone. We're toast here. We're going to drown." Now, this wasn't an overreaction by some highly emotional women. This is an analysis of men who made their living out there. Now think about this. This isn't their first day on the job, and this isn't the first high winds that they've experienced. Their analysis of this, after having spent a lifetime on this water, we're done. There ain't no way out. The doctor said no hope. My finances, I'm going under. I'm through. My marriage is over. We're going to drown. Here is an analysis of what we're facing. And we don't need your input. We're just kind of informing you. You might want to wake up to see yourself die, because we're going. We don't want you to sleep through all of us dying here. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you so afraid?" Now, I find that really ridiculous. It's panic time. What in the world do you mean, "Why are you afraid?" When waves are crashing over your boat and winds and you're in the middle of a storm, folks, it's time to pull the panic button. It's time for your fingernails to be bit down to the quick. I mean, panic is the correct answer at this moment. We're in a situation, we're going to die, and panic is the right situation, except for Jesus asked, "Why are you afraid?" I'm not really sure how to answer that question, "Why are you afraid?" I'm just out here on the deck getting a suntan. I mean, seriously? Evaluate the situation. And when your friend comes to you, here's what they're doing. They're evaluating the situation. This is falling around, and I don't know what I'm going to do. What are they doing? They're reacting, they're panicking, and they're getting their emotion and their mental response. They're getting that from the waves and the wind in their life. Now, what was the problem here? The problem wasn't the wind. The problem wasn't the waves. The problem was the lack of faith in the disciples. I said this yesterday morning. Let me say this again in this situation. You can't say, "Well, that was Jesus." Jesus didn't say, "Lucky for y'all, I am Jesus and I am here. You just dang lucky I'm on the job." No, Jesus was appalled that they didn't handle this. So you can't say, "Well, that's Jesus." Jesus is saying, "What's wrong with you?" So in your situation, Jesus is looking at you and saying, "I'm amazed at you. What's wrong with you? You have just so little faith, or you would have handled this, whatever it is for you." Now, let's watch what happens. Jesus is walking in faith. He believes what cannot see is going to come to pass. He has faith in the power of God. Jesus steps up. Now, here's what I want you to see. Their lack of faith didn't change the situation. Had they had faith, their faith would have changed the situation. That's why we're having this week. That's the whole reason we're doing this. It's inconvenient. It's taxing. I don't want to do this. I don't have time to do this. I can't believe we planned this for this week. There's 1,000 other things I need to be doing right now. Why did we plan this? Because of this situation right here. Because we understand faith comes by hearing. As you hear the word, then faith is a power to change the waves and the wind in your own life. This is really good. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is substance and it is evidence. Now, let me explain this as practical as I know how. In the natural world, we have titles, we have deeds. We have deeds for land. We have titles for property. We have titles. And in Arkansas, they look like this. This is a title. A title. Now, if someone steals my truck, I can't see it, nor do I have it. It's not manifest in my life. So what do? I pull out my title, and with my title, I can get what was stolen from me. I can get my truck back. Now, does that make sense? Piece of paper, right here. Without the truck, without seeing the truck, without being able to show somebody the truck, I can prove the truck is mine because the title is my substance. It is my evidence of the thing that I can't see in my life that I know belongs to me. Now, there are a lot of things in your life that you are hoping for that you can't see. What do? You hold on to your title. That's what this is. Some bad things happen. It's bad. I see it's bad. Standing in ashes in your house is the only thing worse than that could possibly be if the deer heads would have burned up. So we're half okay, but it's almost as bad as it could get. Not quite, we got the deer heads out, but it's as bad as it can be. You go to your title and you know what was meant for my destruction will some way, somehow, that I can't see right now, turn out for my good, and right down there is the good that we couldn't see standing in the pile of ashes. The problem is we're jumping off the bridge because we're in a pile of ashes instead of hanging on to our title until they bring my truck back to me. The authorities will bring my truck back to me and put it in my possession. It was stolen from me, and I have a legal right to it. When your money stops, when crisis hits your corporation, you have the title. It says God will never see his children out begging for bread. Your company shut down. They told you today when you went to work, get your stuff, clear out. You don't have a job starting right now. You have no money coming in. Where does that leave you? Where it leaves me is, God said, my kids will never be out begging for bread. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath. Whatever I put my hand to prospers. I will come out of this thing better than I was when I was in this thing. When I get my next job, it'll be making twice what that job paid, and I'd have never left that job had it not shut down, and I'd have been locked in, and God wants to promote me, and the only way he could promote me was shut the whole company down and cause me to go over here. They would have still been living in that house. See, there you've got to understand how faith works in our life. These are the same to me. This is the same as this. This has the authority of the state of Arkansas behind it. This has the authority of the power of God behind it. Both of those don't have anything to do with me. Yeah, but Tim, you don't know what I've been like. You don't know what I've done. Well, Tim, you don't know it. At my age, I don't know how I can go get another job. Well, at my age, I don't know how I can make a living. Well, at my age, I don't have to go fight the thug and get my truck back. There is an authority behind this that's, see, both of these supersede my strength and my ability and my power to produce a result in my life. All I am is a title holder. All I am is a possessor of this piece of paper. It's really good. Now, same size, same weight. What is the only difference in these two pieces of paper? There's only one difference. What is it? The words written on the page. This is going to be, well, you don't even believe how good this is about to be. So just continue to daydream and you're going to miss this whole thing. All right, let's continue. There's only one difference in this piece of paper and this piece of paper. There's only one difference. Oh, that's just a bunch of words written on a page. It's exactly what it is. Now that you mention it, it's exactly what it is. Words written on a page. Words written on a page. Deuteronomy. You may want to go there. You may be interested in these words. I happen to be very. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and your flocks will be blessed. Your fruit basket, Deuteronomy 28, verse 5. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. And they will attack you from one direction. They're going to scatter from seven directions. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. If you'll obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people. He swore so he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see you, and you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors and give you blessing with many children. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heaven. You're standing in the middle of a pile of ashes and everything you got is gone. The Lord will bless me. The Lord will prosper me. I am the head. You're not the tail. You will always be on top. You will never be on the bottom. See, what is that? Words on a page. Words on a page. I've stopped teaching in a scholastic atmosphere, and I've started preaching like Sunday morning. I had to get myself back under control for this academic setting that we are now in. What's the difference in these two pieces of paper? The words on the page. It's the only difference is the words on the page and the power that's behind those words that have nothing to do with me. Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I have faith in the words on this page. I'm not really worried about my truck. I have no worry about it whatsoever. Tim, that truck may be stolen. It'll be brought back. Hopefully they'll tear it up and destroy it, and it can't be brought back. The insurance will buy me a brand new one. So if it is stolen, I'm going to really be better off than I am right now. I'm going to leave the keys in my truck now that I think about it. What are you doing? I'm living on faith in this title. That's all it is, because I own this title. If I go out there and get in my truck, I'm in good shape. If I go out there and it's stolen, I'm going to be in good shape. If I go out there and it's been totally wrecked, I'm going to be in great shape because of the words on this page. I don't have to worry about my house. If I go back and the house is standing, we're going to be happy. If you go back and the house is burned down, we're going to be really happy. Well, you see the next one we're going to build. See, I mean, God, what was meant for your destruction when you live by faith turns your life around. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm just worried sick. I can't hardly concentrate. Did I leave the iron on? Did I unplug the iron? Did I leave the iron on? I don't know if I left the iron on. I don't know. I'm just worried sick. I'm worried sick about my kids. I'm just worried sick. I don't know. You're going to need to live by faith. You need to understand what it means not to go to church on Sunday morning, but what it means to live by faith in the words written on a page and the power that's behind those words. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 tells us to fight the good fight of what? Oh, no. Fight the good fight of faith. Okay, what does that tell me? You're going to have to fight if you're going to live in faith. It's a fight. It's a fight every day. It's a fight every hour. It's a fight. You have to fight the good fight of faith. Why is it a good fight? What differentiates a good fight from a bad fight? You ever been in a fight? I know you've been in a fight. What's the difference of a good fight and a bad fight? It's only one word. Winning. winning, it's real simple. A good fight's when you win. Okay? Fight the what kind of fight? The bad fight of faith, because it's iffy. It could go either way. You just don't know. You know, God's like the wind. You don't know where he blows, here or there, and you may or you may not. You fight the good fight. What is a good fight? You're a predetermined winner in this deal. We already read the end of the story. I don't know. I love, that's all we watch. I watch Gunsmoke. I watch old Westerns. That's all we watch. I only watch that because I always know what's going to happen. I don't care how bad it is. Here's what you can write down. Matt Dillon's going to win. Now, we kind of get a lump in our throat, and I'm nervous for him, and it goes on commercial break, and the guys called him out, and you're nervous. Don't be nervous. You don't have to be nervous. He's going to win. He's going to outdraw the guy. If the guy outdraws him, he'll miss, and then he's going to win. It's just the way it is. How do I know he's going to win? How do I know Matt Dillon is always going to win? How do I know that? It's the way the script was written. Before the fight broke out, that script was written. And it was written for him to win. Let me ask this. Why does Tom Selleck in all of those movies walk out of there with all this boldness? Why does Matt Dillon step out? Kitty, watch this. I mean, how does he walk in such confidence? He read the script before they started filming the episode. Oh, this is really good. He read the script before they started filming the episode. So before I got in the street with this guy yelling at me and chiding me, before I step out in the street and take that keeper off of my pistol, I've already read the script. I know how this ends. I'm the head. I'm not ever the tail. I'm above. I'm not ever beneath. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. That means when this fight is over, I win. The devil loses. Now, I can't explain this. I'm not sure how it's going to all play out. But here's what I can tell you. I win because I'm fighting the good fight of faith. What is it being stolen from you? Right now, is it your health? Is it your peace? Is it your joy? Is it your finances? You're not rolling over and saying, oh, well, my truck is gone. My truck is gone. I guess my truck is gone. I'll probably never see my truck again as long as I live. I sure wished I had my truck, but I don't have it. I'm not going to walk around here saying I have my truck when I don't. I mean, I just don't have it. And it's just, Tim, you got to face the facts. I don't have my truck. Now, you can continue to live like that if you want to. But I'm going to fight the good fight of faith in my life with the words that are written on the page. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith because I am fully convinced that Jesus came to bring and give us peace. Peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but peace I give you. Now, right now, my peace is being stolen. Right now, my peace is being stolen, and I don't see it. But I'm not going to give in to that. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and before this hour is over, I'm going to have peace back in my heart. I'm going to have a smile back on my face. Y'all will have to figure out what you're going to do, and I don't know what you're going to do, but I am going to be happy the rest of this day. I'm going to walk in peace, and I'm going to walk in joy the remainder of this day while you guys do whatever it is you're going to do. But I'm not getting down and wallowing in this because I have been given peace. Right now, it's trying to be stolen from me. I've got words on a page that say I have been given peace. So with those words, I'm going to bring peace back into my life, and I'm going to walk in it. Right now, we have to fight the fight of faith. Everybody in here, stand up. All right, what is it right now? Come on, what is it? You got a situation at school? It's not good. You got a situation at work? It's not good. You got a situation in your finances, your health? What is it right now? Or maybe just some worries and fears about your future that you don't know what's going to happen in the coming future. Right now, let's just roll up our sleeves and fight. Let's get it on. Let's just fight right now. Come on, right now. Everybody in here doing business. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you, and I'm fighting. I'm not rolling over. I'm not giving up. I'm going to see a miracle happen. I'm going to see a miracle happen in this situation. I'm loosing the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I will see a miracle happen because I'm reading the words on my page. Father, I loose you right now to bring back to me what is trying to be stolen. And I'm fighting. I am fighting the good fight of faith. I'm standing on your word, and I'm walking in peace. I'm walking in joy. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in forgiveness, not because I see it, but because I choose to. I choose to fight for what I read on this page that belongs to me. In Jesus' name, I'll have what belongs to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.